Amen. Take your Bibles from the 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And give you the message the Lord has laid on our heart for tonight. And I appreciate another opportunity to be here. I thank everybody, all the ladies. And the ladies, I hope you understand that everything that you've done in the background this week has contributed to everything that God was able to do in here. Everything. I mean, it's just as important. Amen. And I'm very thankful for it. And man, thankful for absolutely everything. And man, what a blessing to see these kids up here praising the Lord and worshiping Him. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever let nobody take that from you. Amen. All right, 1 Kings chapter number 18. I went down there to grab my notes and grab my phone. I don't know why I did that. Amen. All right, 1 Kings chapter number 18. All right, we're going to look at another familiar story. I'm going to try to be quick tonight, quicker than last night, and leave time for whatever else the Lord has for us tonight. But before we go to 1 Kings 18, and you don't have to turn there, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we heard preaching on that this morning from Brother Wiggins. But we find over there in Romans chapter 12, and verse number 1 through 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we heard a whole message on that this morning. I'm not going to go over all that, but I was interested in that part of that, about not conforming to the world and about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, that ye may prove. So who are you proving it to? Amen. Well, proving it to yourself and proving it to everybody around you. Proving, hey, this world is looking for something. Amen. They're looking for something. Now, they think that they know the answers and they think they know where to look. Do you know tonight that there's people that believe that after this election takes place, whichever side wins, there's people that think it's going to fix things. Oh. There's people that think if Trump gets in, that everything's going to be better. There's people that think that if Biden gets in, everything's going to get better. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it ain't getting better till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. There's going to be rioting continuing regardless of who gets in. Amen. I had a preacher tell me last night, he said, man, you better hope that nobody had a video camera out last night when you were beating a black man with a stick. They'd be rioting out in front of the church. So I hope that nobody got a picture of that or recorded it, because it'll be all over the news, a white preacher beat a black man in a church. Amen. Some of y'all are laughing, some of you look upset, it don't matter. Amen. I love this church. I love this church. Brother Carter, I love his family. Amen. I'm thankful for his wife and his children, and I'm thankful for his testimony and his faithfulness. And you know, this morning what he had to do and stand up, you know, the Bible says resist the devil. Amen. Resist him and draw nigh to God. And He'll draw nigh to you. He resisted the devil this morning. We tried to draw nigh to God through song, and God chose to draw nigh to us. Man, thank God for it.
Amen.
Over here, 1 Kings chapter number 18, let's look at two verses, and I'll get in the message and try to get out of the way. 18, if you're there, say amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. The Bible says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him.
That's right.
But if Baal, then follow him. And I'm interested in this right here. The people answered him not a word. Answered them not a word. Man, I'm telling you tonight, this must have been a Baptist church.
Amen. Praise church.
Because the preacher got up and he said, hey church, hey, if God be God, then serve Him. And if Baal's God, serve Him. Get off the fence and pick which one. And all the people sat. Of like half the people in here are tonight.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise sir. Amen.
They answered not a word.
Amen. Amen.
But then I want you to look at verse number 39. Verse 21 said that they answered not a word. Verse number 39 said, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.
Amen.
What happened? In verse number 21, the people didn't answer a word.
Yes, sir, preacher.
I mean, they didn't say anything. And then in verse number 39, the people begin to yell, the Lord, He is the God. What happened between verse 21 and verse 39 to make the people make a choice? At first, they didn't answer a word. And I want to preach on this thought for just a few minutes tonight on convincing your people. Convincing your people. Do you realize tonight that we have people watching us? There's people watching this church.
Amen, preacher.
There's people watching the families in this church.
Yes, sir.
Brother Dudley, people at your work, they watch you. People at your neighborhood, they watch you. There's family that watches you. We all have people watching every move we make.
Yes, sir.
And we all have people.
Yes, sir.
We all got people, amen. We've all got family.
Amen.
Amen. We got aunts and uncles and grandparents, and we've got cousins and nieces and nephews. I'm telling you tonight, when that dear sister was up singing, God broke my heart. I know she was talking about some sicknesses, and there's people that go through sickness, and they were heartbroken, but God broke my heart about some lost family.
Amen.
God broke my heart for His brother we've been praying for. And God broke my heart for some people, and that song reminded me tonight that God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. We've all got family that's hurting. We've got family tonight that needs to be saved.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about if God doesn't do something, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. We've got family tonight that might be saved, but they're backslid on God, and that maybe, man, their grandkids might die and go to hell if they don't get right with God, get in church, and get God back in their marriage. Who knows what's going to happen?
Amen.
We've all got family.
Amen.
We've all got friends.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Brother Carter only has a couple. He said it. He said it. But we've all got friends. We've all got acquaintances, people we work with.
Yes, sir.
We've all got foes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They're watching you too.
Amen.
The enemy is watching you too. Hey, man, there's people that hate my guts.
Amen, preacher.
There are. There might be some here tonight. I hope not. There's people that hate His guts with a passion.
Yeah, right.
All got enemies. I had a man come up to me one time that I know he hates my guts, and he was trying to put on a front, and he said, I'm praying for you, brother. I said, I wish you wouldn't. Why? Because he's probably praying God kills me, and it might be the one time he's right with God. I don't want him praying for me. Hey, if you're not living right and not doing right, God's probably not going to answer your prayer anyway, but I don't want you praying for me.
Amen.
The Bible says, pray for those that despitefully use you. I need to pray for them. Amen.
Amen.
I had a man the other day come up to me, and we were talking about another gentleman, and a preacher came up to me and said, let me tell you something right now. God struck my heart the other day about praying for my enemies.
Amen.
And that man right over there is the first man I prayed for, and then he turned around and walked away. I said, whoa. And if I told you who it was, it would blow your mind.
Amen.
It was an older man of God. Man, I was like, good night. I'm not saying. We all have family. We've all got. And you know what they're doing, church? Let me tell you this right now. I thank God for what He's done this week in this meeting.
Amen.
And thank God for it. But do you know why God did all this week? So that we could walk out those doors and we could shine as a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, thank God for His presence in here. But He's equipping us in here to go out there and win somebody to God. And we've all got people. We've got family and foes, and we've got friends. And I'm telling you, how many times have you gone to a co-worker, to a neighbor, to a family member, said, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to church. They said, I'll be there Sunday, and it's been 100 Sundays, and you ain't seen them yet. And they said, hey, please come, please come, please come. And they answer not a word.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good preaching.
Man, I wish they'd come.
Yes, sir.
Man, I wish they'd come to church. Yeah. Oh, one day we'll come. Can I tell you what they're doing? They're just watching you.
That's good preaching, brother. That's good preaching.
They're not going to answer yet.
Yes, sir.
They want to see what you do through the pandemic.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
The pandemic.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
They're waiting to see what you're going to do through that. They're waiting to see what you do through the hard times. They're waiting to see how you handle problems. They're wanting to see if your car's still there Sunday morning or if it's at church.
Yes, sir.
They're wanting to see if it's still there Wednesday night or if it's at church. They want to see if it's at revival. Hey, they're watching you and they're watching your move. And I'll tell you what, Elijah here, if you know the story, hey, that it's been without rain for 3 years.
Yes.
Elijah prayed it would not rain and God answered that prayer.
Yes,
and now they're in a drought. Now there's no rain. And I'm telling you, not long ago, he went down to a brook and the brook dried up. And he went to a widow lady with her son and just got a little bit of water and fed him there. And Elijah's seen all these things take place. And Ahab is looking for Elijah.
Amen.
Ahab wants to kill Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
And Ahab has this man there. Who's by the name of Obadiah.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And the Bible said that Obadiah feared the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And Obadiah took 100 prophets of God and hid them in a cave by 50s and fed them bread and water.
Yes.
But Elijah, you weren't sticking him in a cave.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
Just a side note, there's a lot of preachers hiding in caves.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
But I thank God for some Elijahs.
Yes, sir.
Some Elijahs that have been here this week.
Yes, sir.
Some Elijahs like this man back here that stand up and they preach the Word of God regardless of what happens.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
There's 100 men hiding out in caves.
Amen.
And Obadiah hit them out. Preacher, if you're in here today, man, if you trust God, just stand flat-footed and preach and let the chips fall where they may. Let God do what He needs to do. Just preach!
Yes, sir.
Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season.
Amen.
There was 100 prophets that hid in the cave because it was dangerous.
Amen.
There was 100 prophets that had to have Obadiah risk his life to go in there and feed him and give him water because it was dangerous.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preacher.
Said, are you blaming them? I don't know. Elijah wasn't in the cave.
Amen. Preacher.
And Ahab's looking for him. So Ahab gets Obadiah. And you go back and read this. I got to hurry. Obadiah says, you go that way and try to find some water for the horses and the camels and the cats and the dogs and everybody else. And I'm going to go this way. We're in a drought. We need some water. All these livestock are going to die. You go that way. I'll go this way. So Obadiah's going down the road. And all of a sudden, he sees Elijah. And he recognizes the man of God. Oh, man, there's a lot of preachers today. You couldn't recognize them from some celebrity on the street. Man, they got the skinny jeans on and the little tight shirt, and they got the flip-flops on. You wouldn't know if they're a man of God from a worldly heathen. But he recognized Elijah, and he fell to his face immediately.
Yes, sir.
And Elijah got up and said, hey, God sent me to tell Ahab that I need to talk to him.
Amen.
You know what Obadiah says? Obadiah's a man that fears God. He said, Elijah, are you crazy? This is my version of it. Go back and read it. He said, Elijah, are you crazy? He said, don't you realize that I fear God since a child? Do you want me to die, Elijah? Have y'all read the story?
Yes, sir. Amen. We need to handle every one.
He said, you want my head cut off, don't you? He goes, because I know it's going to happen, Elijah, because I know you and I know God. I'm going to go tell Ahab, hey, Elijah's looking for you. I mean, we've been searching years for you. And all of a sudden, they're going to go up there and the Spirit of God is just going to take you away. And then we're going to show up again, and there goes my head. He said, because I know you and I know how God works, and He's going to take you out of here somewhere else. And Elijah said, I'll be right here waiting.
Amen.
I will be right here waiting. He said, you go get Ahab and bring him here. So Ahab shows up. And Elijah and Ahab are face to face. And Ahab looks at Elijah and goes, why are you upsetting Israel? He tried to blame Elijah. Tried to blame the preacher for all the problems going on.
Amen, preacher.
I mean, he tried to blame him for all the stuff going on. And Elijah looks back at him and says, no, you're the one that troubleth Israel.
Yes, sir.
He says, I tell you what, Ahab, what I want you to do is go get all the children of Israel. And I want you to bring them up here to Mount Carmel. And Ahab went and got all the children of Israel and gathered them around. And Elijah stands up, goes, children of Israel, why don't you pick which one's God? Yeah. If God is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, serve him. And Ahab brought up 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove.
Yes, brother.
A few chapters earlier, Ahab established a grove, and now it's got its own prophets. They got themselves a little vineyard church. Some of y'all know what that is. And the 400 prophets, and the Bible said that they set their table, their legs under Jezebel's table. And all of a sudden, they bring all these people together, and Elijah makes this bold statement and says, why don't you pick? And all the people just sat there and looked at him. Can you imagine this? There's just Elijah. Obadiah's not standing by him. And Obadiah feared the Lord. That's what the book says. The 100 prophets that are hiding out in the cave, they're peeking out there saying, hey, y'all tell us what's going on out there. Maybe a couple of them dressed up in a costume and went out there to see what's going on. Because they want to know who they're going to keep following.
Yep, amen, preacher.
They got all the people together, and there's Elijah by himself.
Right.
And the 400 prophets of the grove, man, they must have been a bunch of sissies because they're not mentioned again.
Right.
But the 450 prophets of Baal are all standing over there. And there's Elijah by himself. And all the children of Israel are looking back up there, and they go, what's about to happen right here? And the Bible said they didn't answer a word. They didn't say maybe. They didn't say I'll be there Sunday.
No.
They didn't say, hey, I'll get over there soon. They didn't say anything. So I'm gonna give this real, I'm gonna run through here. How to convince your people. We all got people.
Amen, friend.
I leaned over this morning and told Brother Grady that, man, a white church, you can't do what he did this morning. You can't. But this is his church. This is his people. I got people in my church that I could talk to a certain way. They know I love them. And I don't do it that way. I got a different way of doing it. But these are his people.
Amen.
These are his people. How to convince your people. Let me ask you tonight this question as we go through here. Why in the world would your people want what you have?
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Is there anything about your Christian walk? Is there anything about your marriage? Is there anything about your home that they would desire to have what you have?
Good preacher, brother.
And these people looked at Elijah here. They knew who Elijah was. But they didn't answer one word. Let me say first of all, how to convince your people. Number one, you need to fear for their future. You need to fear for their future. In verse number 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel. Ahab, I'm not the problem. You're the problem. But thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. The first thing that you have to do if you're going to convince your people is you need to fear for their future.
Amen.
Are you worried that your family might die and go to hell if God don't do something?
Amen.
Are you worried about their future?
Amen, preacher.
When's the last time a tear was shed on an altar or somewhere in a prayer closet and you begged God to try to save them? God, would you save them? God, would you save them? Because I'm talking about this thing's coming to an end, and if the thing, so something doesn't change, they'll die and go to hell.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
I know grandparents today that are brokenhearted over their children that they raised in church and they know better, but they got out of church and they got away from God. And if God doesn't do something, their grandbabies are going to die and go to a devil's hell.
Man, that's good preaching, brother.
But the first thing you have to do is fear for their future. Amen. If Elijah didn't care about his people, he wouldn't have got all this stuff together.
Amen.
I mean, I'm talking about all the 450 prophets of Baal, all the children of Israel. You know why he did that? He cared about his people.
Amen, preacher.
We have to fear for their future. We have family. My brother-in-law Nick's here today, and we've got family right now, this very moment. If God doesn't do something, there's going to be people die and go to hell. And the ones that are saved, that are not in church, they're raising children, and they're not raising them around the hymns. They're not raising them around the glory of God. What we saw tonight, they're not around that. I want my family around the presence of God.
Amen.
And they're not here, and if God doesn't do something... Well, I tell you what, this preacher right here can't talk to every one of your family members.
He said, amen, preacher.
He would if he could. And he will if the Lord opens the door. But there's people you'll meet, he'll never meet.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
And you know who they're watching? They're not watching Tory Carter.
Yeah.
They're watching Brother Dudley.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
They're watching Brother Bridges.
You 100% right, preacher.
Amen.
They're watching your home. They're watching your... They're not watching him.
Yes, sir.
They're watching you.
Yeah.
If my preacher... No. You.
Right.
And the first thing you have to do is fear for their future. Number two, the second thing you need to do is follow God before them.
Amen.
Verse number 21 and 22 there, he told them, he said, hey, if the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. The people answered not a word. And now listen to what he said. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. What about the other 100? They're hiding now. They're not doing nothing.
Yes, sir.
But Baal's prophets are 450 men. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Andrew? I'm trying to say, if you want to win your people, if you want to convince them, you stand for God, hell, or high water. You stand for God, regardless of what happens, regardless of what tragedy, regardless of what comes your way, you stand, you stand, you stand for God.
Amen.
And that includes having to stand to protect your family when your family doesn't think what you're doing is right.
Amen.
That means if there's some ungodliness going on down at your brother or sister's house and you won't let your kids over there, you don't do it just to try to keep peace with them. You do it to protect your children.
Amen.
I've had to make decisions with my family that there's other family members. They cannot be alone with them. They can't go over there. And it's caused problems in the family. It's upset some people. It's aggravated some people. But hey, I got to take a stand somewhere.
Amen.
And you know what? All those people that get mad at me, they're watching.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
They're watching. They're watching every move I make. They're watching every decision that I make. Not only do you follow God before them, but number three, you expose the frauds.
Amen.
You expose the frauds. I'm not reading all the passages for a second time. I've got to get moving. But he tells Ahab, get all the prophets of Baal and get them all together. Then he goes and talks to them. Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build an altar. And we're going to get a bullock, and we're going to cut it in pieces. And we're going to get the wood and place it on there, and we're going to place the bullock on top of it. And then we're going to pray to God. You pray to your God, I'll pray to my God, and whichever God answers by fire, let him be God.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
So the prophets of Baal said, hey, that's a deal. Do you know why they were so excited about it, Brother Tory? Because their God was Baal, or Baal, or however you want to call it. It was Baal. And Baal is a fertility god.
Yeah.
And not only is he a fertility god, but you can study on this. He was the god of rain.
Yes.
of thunder and of lightning. Back years ago, I've got it up there in my notes, but I got to continue. They found a stone tablet in the temple of Baal somewhere over in Syria. They found this thing, and it's a picture of Baal holding a thunderbolt. That was the design that they had for him. You say, what does that mean? Have you ever seen lightning strike a tree?
Yeah.
It goes up in flames. You say, what's significant about that? The 450 prophets of Baal said, well, our God's a God of lightning. Oh, He can do this.
Amen, Bridget.
But what I want to know is, if He's a God of rain too, why hadn't it rained for 3 years?
That's good, preacher.
You know, some of these false prophets, they really believe the baloney that they preach.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart that these 450 prophets of Baal believed that Baal was going to send a lightning bolt down to start that thing on fire. Their God was a God of fertility, of rain, of thunder, of wind. Go look it up. Of lightning.
Sir.
And they believed that He would set that thing on fire. And so all these prophets of Baal, they begin to pray to Baal. And they begin to pray. And they prayed. And about like Brother Tory's message, it went half a day. And absolutely nothing. And Elijah. Now remember, 450 verses 1. Alright? It wasn't a 2-on-1 like Brother Carter getting whooped up by some girls. He didn't say how old he was, and I wouldn't either if I was 17. It wasn't 1-on-2. I'm telling you, if everybody in here came after me tonight, I'm done. And there ain't no 450 people in here. 450-1. You say, why are you saying all that? Because Elijah starts mocking them. Hey! I'm losing my voice. Hey! Where's your God? Maybe He's on the phone with somebody. He must be talking to somebody. Maybe He'll get to you in just a minute. Amen? Maybe it's like calling a help desk. And you got to stay online and wait for somebody. And then when you do, you get somebody from India. Hello, my name is Bob. Bob? You ain't no Bob. Yeah, maybe shish kebab. It ain't no Bob. Elijah's doing this to them. He goes, hey, maybe he's pursuing. Maybe he's on vacation. Go read it. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe when he gets back, he'll get back with you. And the Bible said that all the prophets... Hey, you know what he was doing? In front of all these people that are watching, he's trying to show God's people these are frauds.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know why the man of God can get up and preach against some of these false prophets out here? And he can call them by name and he can expose the frauds they are, because we know the true God and they are frauds. They're frauds. They're frauds. And a real man of God, he'll see right through somebody.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
He'll see right through the fakeness. He'll see right through the fraud. And sometimes you, as a child of God, your people are watching you. And sometimes, Brother Dudley, I told you if you didn't sit on the front, I was going to preach to you. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to call it out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You got to expose the fraud.
Amen.
But you better know enough of God to do it.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
I mean, why did he do this? Was he just making fun of him because he wanted to laugh? No. He wanted all these people to know that this was a fraud.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm talking about, if you want to convince your people, you have to expose the fraud.
Yes, sir.
When somebody comes up to you with all the love you can muster, and they've got bad, bad doctrine, or they're dying and going to hell, sometimes with all the love you can muster, you have to say, I'm sorry, but you're wrong, and you better not die with that, or you're going to hell.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preacher.
Now let me take the Bible and show you that.
Yes, sir.
Let me show you the way of salvation.
Amen.
So he exposed the frauds. Talk about some guts. 450 prophets of Baal, and he's making fun of them. You say, what happened? They threw themselves on the altar, and like a lot of cults and like the devil likes, they start cutting themselves.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
That's demonic.
Yes, sir.
They begin to cut themselves. Anybody that's cutting, that's demonic.
Amen.
And the people, Elijah didn't start cutting them until later. But Elijah didn't do that to them either. They started doing it to themselves. And all the children of Israel are sitting there. And they're still not saying nothing. They're just watching. And they're like, man, something's not right about that. Child of God, if you get in that book and you stay in that book, you start growing in the Lord, sometimes you'll come across something and you'll say, man, there's something not right about that. You get off of some of these meetings and stuff sometimes, and you'll sit there, and somebody will get up and preach. You'll say, something's not right.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
There's something off.
Yes, sir, preacher.
You say, what is that? It's called discernment.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's called being sensitive to the Word of God, but you only get that by time with the book.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You will not get it any other way.
Amen.
Time with the book. He began to expose the frauds. I want to say tonight also, if you want to convince your people, you need to be fearless. You can't be a coward. You can't cower down. If you really care about them, you need to stand up and man up. You cannot be a coward. He was fearless in what he did. Can I explain a little bit of the fear? I got to hurry. So, all this happened, and I'm talking about he's fearless. Now, as far as I know, Brother Grady and Brother Carter, tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think this particular thing has ever happened before. What's about to happen has never happened. Now, he prayed that the rain would stop, it stopped. But so they clean up the mess, and they build a new altar, and they put the wood on it, and they cut the bullock up on it. I'm talking about being fearless.
Amen, preacher.
They're in a drought. Hasn't rained for 3 years.
Yes, sir.
And he said, go get a barrel of water.
Amen. Yep. Yes, sir.
And the children of Israel said, preacher!
Yeah.
I mean, they still don't answer the word, but I can imagine they start talking to each other. Doesn't he know that we don't have water?
Yeah.
People do this in church.
Yes, sir.
The preacher gets up and says, this is what God told me to do. And they say, doesn't he know that we don't have water?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to me. Doesn't he know my baby's about to die first? There's people dying. And he wants to go get water and dump it on. And then there's some Jewish rednecks. I don't think you can start that fire with water on it. Maybe if we got some Danorite. Think about the looniness of this.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But Elijah said, go get water. Pour it on there. Do it again. Amen?
Amen.
Dig a trench.
Yeah. Yes, sir, preacher.
Go get some more water.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know where they went to go get this water. I have stood on Mount Carmel. I've had the privilege of doing that. Water ain't close.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
To carry that stuff where you could see where water is, it ain't close. Now, for them, it might not have been nothing, but for me and Brother Alverson, we never would have made it.
Praise, bro.
I'm talking about being fearless.
Amen.
Sometimes a man of God's got to get up. Sometimes, husband, you have to make a decision in your family.
Yes, sir.
And you have to take a stand. And nobody, including your wife,
yes, sir,
might not understand what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
But you're trying to convince your people.
Amen.
And wife, you say, what do I do? Pray for them.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
I don't understand it, God, but you gave them to me.
Praise, brother.
I had a lady the other day. Man, this is a couple years ago. She came to me for counseling, and she said, he won't do right. He won't do right. He won't do right. I'm talking about I counsel with both of them. He won't do right. She's like, I pray for him. I pray for him. I'm submitting. I'm submitting. I'm doing. And she really did have the best intentions, and I believe her heart was right. And we finally got to a point. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, pray God kills him.
Amen.
That'll work.
Widow
indeed. Pray God kills them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. You say, what happened? They're doing really good today. But don't undermine him.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Amen. Amen. She's like, I've been praying for years. I said, well, change your prayer. Fearless. Dumped all this water everywhere. And sometimes you have... Mamas, you got to make a decision with your babies.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Sometimes other people don't understand it.
Yes, sir.
But you have to do what's right.
Amen.
And they're watching you. They're just waiting for you to compromise.
Yes, sir.
They're just waiting to pull up at the gas station and you open your door and the wrong music comes rolling out.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
But they're waiting for that.
Amen.
They're just waiting for you to go walking through the grocery store wearing clothes that are not modest.
Yes, sir.
They're waiting for that.
Yes, sir.
Because they want to know if what you have is real.
Amen.
I told Brother McFadden the other night, God showed me an illustration about a year or so ago, and I've been preaching everywhere I go. Whenever Jesus sent the two disciples to go out and get that donkey to bring it in so that he could go ride in on Palm Sunday, when he got it, they placed a blanket over that donkey. Did they do that to keep the donkey clean? Donkeys and horses are filthy animals. They clothed that donkey to keep Jesus clean. So what are you getting at? We're just a bunch of donkeys in here this morning. And we clothe the way we do, not because we're anybody. We don't dress the way we do because we're something.
Right.
We do it to keep the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ clean. To keep Him clean. He's holy! And we dress the way we do, not because we're anybody, but because He's everything! To keep His testimony clean. Has nothing to do with your self-righteousness. We like to go to Gatlinburg and Cage Cove, and my wife said, will you please make me a t-shirt that says, I am not Pentecostal and I'm not Church of God.
Yes, sir!
Because there's a group that does it for self-righteous reasons.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
You know why we do it? You know why my little girls do it? We do it because we want to keep the testimony of our Savior clean.
That's good.
It's a sacrifice sometimes to do that, ladies. Men, it's a sacrifice to do that.
Yes, sir. Preacher.
Amen. They're waiting for you to be out there mowing your grass without your shirt on.
Amen.
With your two chest hairs sticking out.
Amen, preacher.
All they need is one excuse to say, I don't want what they have. He was fearless. He was faithful. I got verses on all this and I could preach it, but I'm going to get here to the end. And let me tell you this, last of all, he had faith in his God. If you want to convince your people, you have to believe God can do it. Can she sing that song again in just a minute? I'm not there yet. But can she sing the one again?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The one you dedicated all those folks? Dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and sing it again in just a minute. I'm telling you right now that there was a faith in God that Elijah had. Because look at it with me.
Amen, preacher.
Verse number 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. I mean, he starts praying to God. He said, Lord God. Man, I want to see God save some of my family. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art the God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. He had a faith in God. He believed God could do it. Do you believe God can save them? Do you believe God can fix it? Hey, Elijah believed God could do it.
Amen.
Verse 21. Pick. Is it God or is it Baal? Get off the fence. There's a lot of preachers preaching that right now.
Yes, sir.
I wish you'd just pick.
Yes, sir.
And all this stuff, all the people still have not answered a word. Not one word. Elijah prays this prayer. And he does what every preacher needs to do. Lord, this is all for Your glory and for Your honor. It has nothing to do with me. I'm Your servant. God, would You please grant it? And the very next verse says, can I remind you, the couple Jewish rednecks? Watch this right here. That's a redneck's famous last words. Watch this right here. That's what happened on the trampoline. Watch this right here. And then all of a sudden, the fire of God fell. Hey, the fire of God fell, and it consumed the offering. And you know what? If it stopped right there, Elijah could have said, God, You're Lord, thank You for all You did. But it didn't stop there. Hey, it didn't stop there. The rocks burned up.
There's a fire right there.
All the water got licked up. All the water got licked up. It didn't stop there. The dust got burned up.
Oh.
Have you ever seen dust burn? Every time I burn something, dust is left. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, convince your people that He is the true God. And you say, He might just save them, but He might go a step further, and He might call them to preach, and He might call them to a mission field. Hey, trust God!
I'll fix it.
I got to buy you a pew.
Don't worry about it.
What I'm trying to say is, God goes above and beyond every single time.
Yes, sir.
And He might just save them, and He might stick them in a choir, and He might put them behind a piano. Hey! Some of you were watching people from this church. You were watching some of the family, and you said, they got something that I don't have, and I want some of that. I want some of that. And you came and you got born again, and now you've got a family, and now you're in church, and now, hey! Now your baby's singing in the choir. God done licked up the dust. God done consumed the dust. And then all of a sudden, the children of Israel begin to yell, the Lord, He is the God! The Lord, He is the God! The Lord, He is the God! He can do it, church.
That's right.
You just have to convince your people. I'm telling you right now, church. Thank God for what He's done. Hey, we're about to end up this meeting, and we got more preaching coming tonight, tomorrow. And thank God for it. I pray He still does the work. I'm telling you, this thing's about to be over, and we're going to walk out those doors, and I want to see revival sweep through here. But you know what's going to happen? They're watching you. Who do you know that's lost tonight? Who do you know that's lost? His mother needs salvation. Hey, why don't we come plead the blood of the Lamb? Listen, church. Hey, this meeting is more than just for Brother Carter's church. I hope you know that. We need God. Oh my, we need God. Oh God, we need You to save our children. God, we need You to save our aunts and our uncles. God, we need You to do something with our grandkids. Oh God, do it. Would You do it?
Lord Jesus.